That hymn was about baptism. Pretty good words. I want to mention, speak a little bit about baptism in this message. You go back to before you go back to 2 Kings, I want you to turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. This story is a story of a man full of pride. Full of pride. He's got to be brought down. God hates pride more than anything else. Isaiah 2, let's read a few verses of scripture, what the Lord says about the pride of man. Isaiah 2, verse 10, enter into the rock, that's Christ. Hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord, for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled. The haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. The day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty. Everyone that is lifted up shall be brought low. You reading that with me? And Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3 that the last day is perilous time. This is the thing that would that characterize it more than anything else. Proud, high-minded, haughty. Verse 17, the loftiest man shall be bowed down. Haughtiness of men made low. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And religion is worse. Man is proud. Pride is taking credit for anything we are, anything we do. Everything we are and have is by the grace of God. Six things the Lord hates. Seven are abomination. The first thing, proud look. You see it everywhere. And as I said, religion is the worst. You know, people talk about they made Jesus Lord. People talk about let God, they let go and let God into their heart, let Christ have his way. One thing saves a sinner, the sovereign, electing mercy and grace of God. One thing saves a hell-bound sinner, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. God's will, God's wonderful, gracious, merciful, loving will to save. He saves whom he will. Religion is the worst. Hell is filling full of people, proud people. Fill it up daily. Look at chapter 3 of Isaiah, verse 9. I want everybody to look at this, young and old. Children, look at this. Isaiah 3, verse 9. The show of their countenances doth witness against them. It's a proud look. They declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. They're coming out of the closet. Woe unto their soul. Look at verse 16. Moreover, the Lord said, the daughters of Zion are haughty. Walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes. Look at me. Look at me. God sees. And he hates it. Go back to 2 Kings 5. There's a scripture in Isaiah 23, verse 9, that I remember reading as a young man. It made a great impression on me. Committed it to memory. Think about it all the time. It says, the Lord of hosts had purposed it. And whatever God purposes, he said, I'm going to bring it back. But the Lord of hosts had purposed it to stain the pride of all glory and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. Everything is coming down. Because the Lord alone must get the glory. This man, Naaman, in our text, in our story, Naaman was captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was a great man with his master, or before men. He was a great man before men. He's a Syrian. He's not an Israelite. He's the enemy of God's people. He hates God. Oh, but he's a great man. He hates God. Do you know that Thomas Jefferson, one of the founding fathers of this nation, did what King Jehoiakim did back in Jeremiah's day? Jehoiakim, the king, took a pen knife. He read Jeremiah's letter, and Jehoiakim would cut a page out and throw it in the fire. Cut it out, throw it in the fire. Thomas Jefferson did the exact same thing. He took a Bible. He didn't like the miracle. He didn't believe in the miracles, and he cut out all the miracles. But he didn't believe. Cut them all out of the Bible. That's not my father. That's not a father of the faith. He may be a great man among men. He's an abomination to God. This Naaman, this king, was a great man with his master, with men, honorable, that is, before men. They honored him because by him, the Lord had done something. He didn't do it. The Lord did it. He had no room to glory or boast because the Lord's the one that did this through him. He's an enemy of God, a Syrian. They hated Israel. They went and took captive God's people, this little maiden. It's a wicked man. Alright, so he was a mighty man. He was an honorable man before men. He was a great deliverer, a captain. He's as high up in the rank as you could get. He had it all. Had all the world's goods. He had all the world's, he was healthy, not healthy. He was wealthy. He was honorable. Fame, fortune. He's a leper. He's a leper. That means he's dying. Leprosy was always fatal. His flesh is rotting. If you got around him, you'd smell it. And pride is despicable. Have you ever been around somebody that's just arrogant and proud? It's not noxious. Obnoxious. A dying, this man's a dying man. His flesh is rotting, but he's got it all covered up. Got it all covered up, probably perfumed. I shaved some of my face this morning and started to put aftershave on. I like to do it. It makes me feel better. I thought, not today. Not going to cover it. Not going to do that today. He covered his flesh up. You know that all human beings are lepers before God? And the Psalm says 14, and another place it says, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men and see if there were any that did understand, any that did seek God. He said they're all together become filthy. And the margin says, stinking to God. Flesh. Proud flesh. It's obnoxious to God. Well, here's a witness to this man, this leper, a witness, a young lady. Verse 2, the Syrians had gone out by companies and taken captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, a young little captive maiden. And she waited. She was an employee or slave, servant of Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, now, she's got a story to tell. She's got some good news. She's going to bear witness of it. She said, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria. He would recover him of his leprosy. This little captive girl or maiden knew that prophet. She knew him. Elisha. Elisha is going to represent Christ, that prophet. He also represents, and he is, a prophet, a true preacher of the gospel, and all of God's preacher. Well, she knew, she'd heard the prophet preached. The Lord had revealed himself to her. She knew Christ, the prophet, and her message to her mistress, who in turn sent it to the master, was, there's a prophet in Israel, and he's the healer. He's the only one. Only one. If he only knew him. If he only knew that prophet. And it's the only one. And he's in Israel. You have to go there. He's not going to come begging you. He doesn't need you. You have to go to him. Doesn't scripture say we got to go out, go to Christ without the camp? bearing his reproach. This woman, this young lady, you know, bore witness of the prophet. And women are not to be preachers from the pulpit, but all of the daughters of Abraham are witnesses. All of them. All of them. To tell others of Christ. Naaman overheard this. His wife came in and said, this young maiden in there said that there's a prophet in Israel that he can heal you of your leprosy. Really? Really? I'll go there. We don't know. The word of the Lord doesn't return void. You know that? That's why, you know, we should be speaking a word in season. We just don't know what the Lord's going to do with it. This little maiden said to her mistress, I wish Master knew the prophet in Israel. He'd heal him. Well, she in turn went and told him. And you know, during all of this, Naaman was healed. Who else? Some of his servants, maybe? He had a whole entourage of people with him that heard this message. Did they get in the river with him? Well, my father-in-law one time nobody I know has brought more people to hear the gospel than my father-in-law. And he'd tell you right now, couldn't speak, didn't know, he'd tell you that I don't know anything. But he told everybody all he knew. He told what great things the Lord had done for him. All the times, always. When he talked, you remember, some of you remember it. And Tammy, when he talked, when he whispered, it sounded like this, when he whispered. Well, there was a man that came to hear my dad preach. And dad knew him. And he said, so-and-so, he said, how'd you come here? He said, Ed Ballard, my father-in-law, was talking to somebody else about the gospel, and I heard him. And this was years later, and he started coming to hear the gospel. He stayed there. The word won't turn void. We don't know. Well, this little maiden, she bore witness of the prophet, and as we do and should. Well, verse 5 through 6, this king, through 7, this king of Assyria, this powerful man that Naaman worked for, a rich man, a king, okay, he sent letters and money, and says in verse 5, he sent Naaman with 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. He's going to try to buy Naaman's healing. Okay? Go there. And if this prophet's like every other prophet around here, he's in it for the money. So take all this money and bribe him or pay for it. And you know, most people think, you know, most people get a little conviction of sin. Naaman knew he was a leper and he needed healing. He really didn't know though how bad he was. He didn't know he was dying. But he knew he was in trouble and he needed some help. And most people have a little conviction of sin, a little trouble in this world, a trouble in their life, trouble in their marriage, trouble in their home and all that. So they get religion. This happens all the time. They get religion, you know, straighten up and they think, we can just change my raiment. These fig leaves, I'll turn over a new leaf. Or, you know, and they start tithing and start coming to church and start tithing and start giving their money and try to do charitable things and all that. Now, God's going to be pleased with me. Now I'm just saved and sure for heaven as if I'm already there. No, you're a leper. And one thing's going to cleanse you. Didn't Peter say, you know you were not redeemed with corruptible things? Touch your silver and gold. No man can purchase his own redemption. No man can undo anything he's ever done. Can't do enough to make God accept you. It shall be perfect to be accepted. It's going to take a perfect sacrifice. Naaman's going to have to dip 7 times. That's perfection. One thing going to make him clean. Perfect sacrifice. You're not redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold, from your vain conversation. vain religion, vain tradition from the elders. We're redeemed with one thing, the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. The holy, righteous Son of God who was a substitute for lepers. And the only ones he heals are those that don't have one good spot on. Not one redeemable quality. Not one good thing. Remember Leviticus 13? These are the only ones that Christ the high priest will heal. Those that come to him and say, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. From the sole of my feet to the top of my head, I'm a leper. Well, Naaman didn't know this yet. He had some problems. Okay. The Lord's going to bring him down. All right, go back to our text. Now there's the witness. Here's the prophet. Here's the prophet. Chapter 5, verse 8. Now it was so, and when Elisha, the man of God, had heard, the king of Israel rent his clothes. Elisha was aware of everything, wasn't he? How'd he know? He's in his house, didn't he? Yeah, he had insight, and the Lord gave him understanding of all things. And Christ sees all, knows all, omniscient, omnipresent, isn't he? He sees. His eyes behold, his eyelids try. One time, who was it? Was it Elijah? Do you ever get Elijah and Elisha mixed up? I always do. They live back to back. Well, it doesn't matter. They don't care. Their names aren't important. The message is. But one time, the king of Assyria, I think it was going to come attack. And Elijah told the people, or Elisha said, leave, he's coming. And they left, and the king of Assyria said, it's like he knows everything's going on. And somebody said, he does. He knows what you're saying in secret. There was a man, Mr. Clark, his wife was a believer. Mrs. Clark, they were members of the Church of National. And, you know, if I told her first name, you know him well. Champion Opal Clark. And, Opal was a believer. She loved the gospel. She'd come. Champ didn't. He didn't like it. He wouldn't come. Okay. And Opal would go home and tell him. All right. Well, one time, finally, he went with her. He went with her to hear the gospel, okay? And he came away so mad. He went home, and in the car on the way home, he said, you've been talking to that preacher about me, haven't you? She said, no, honey, I haven't said a word about you to him. Well, the Lord dealt with him, didn't he? Like that man was listening to my dad on the TV one time. Dad was on the TV at 8 o'clock or 8:30. Tammy, which was 8 or 8:30? 8 o'clock on the TV. Man sitting there in his chair. He just turned the TV on. Okay. At a whim. Turned the TV on and there Henry Mahan. You know how many false gospel preachers there are on TV? Well, he turned it on. There was this man of God preaching the gospel. And this man was sitting in his chair drinking a Budweiser. 8 a.m. All right, he turned that on, and Dad was preaching to him and said, you're a sinner. You remember how he used to do? You're a sinner. Thou art the man. Preacher pointed that camera. You're a sinner. And that fella said later, he told Dad this later. He said, I got up, I turned that TV off, said, I ain't no sinner. And went back and sat down. I could drink a Bud Light. And then he said, maybe I am a sinner. He went back, turned it back on. The Lord saved that old boy. Naaman. He gets mad. Elisha heard. And he said, let him come to me. Let him come to me. And he'll know there's one prophet in Israel. Didn't Christ stand up that day after the last day of the feast? Remember, everybody went to Jerusalem and there's nothing but Pharisees preaching and all this stuff going on, just the husk of religion and all this going on like religion today. And Christ wasn't in it. He wasn't there. Christ wasn't in that mess. Well, he was outside, and then when people were leaving, he stood and said, "Ho, any man thirst, let him come unto me." And out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm the only one that can. Christ is the only one that can and must. The only one that give you peace. The only one that can save you. The only one. The way, only truth, only life. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. This man had to come where the prophet was. Our Lord's no beggar. If people come to hear, come to Christ, they're going to have to come hear the gospel. Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. Well, there's a prophet in Israel. Now you notice verse 8, you need to see this. I saw it four times in this chapter and four in the previous chapter. It says a man of God. Four times Elisha's called a man of God. In chapter 3, a man of God. Four times, a man of God. That's what they called him, a man of God, a man of God. What's that mean? It means what it says. He was a man sent by God. He's a man. Elisha was a man of like passions. He's a sinner. He's a sinner saved by grace. Elisha's just a sinner, okay? But he's a man of God. He's the man God sent. He's the man that God sent with the message. And it was one. One at this time in Israel. Is that right? That's what it says. Now I don't magnify myself, but I do magnify this office. There are many false prophets are going out of the world. Many. But God has not left himself without a witness. He's not. And you're going to have to hear the truth from a true preacher sent by God. Yeah, yeah. Paul was known by his message, by his methods, and by his manner. He says, "You fully know my way of life." Elisha was not a man pleaser, was he? He was not a man pleaser. Paul said, "If I yet seek to please men, I am not the servant of God." He didn't bow and scrape to the, he wasn't impressed with Naaman. He's a leper. Naaman doesn't have a thing that Elisha needs. Elisha has everything Naaman needs. This is how you know. One way you know. Now, scripture says this, and I've got to stress this because so many false prophets are out there. "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Lord. Did you hear the radio message? Not to Jesus' followers and believers. And God's preacher preaches a Lord, a sovereign Lord on the throne. Man doesn't preach Christ as Lord first. He's not God's preacher. Lord and Savior. Barnard used to say, you can't have Jesus as your Savior and later on set him as your Lord. You're going to bow to him first as Lord whether he saves you or not. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And everywhere I look and hear in religion today, there's no fear of God before their eyes. And the worst place is the pulpit. And this is how they're known. God is to be feared in the assembly of the saints. They're had in reverence of all them around him. And religion is a mockery of God. I wanted to preach from 1 Kings 18 on Elijah and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. But God that answers by fire. Why are you getting pride? Pride. There shouldn't be an ounce of pride in us, any of God's people. Well, this man of God, though, how shall they hear? How shall they call on him who have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Jeremiah 23:32, jot her down, because the Lord said of false prophets, the whole chapter is about them. He said, I didn't send them and they shall not profit these people at all. Not at all. Just make people account for it. That's what it said. Say salvation then depends on the preacher. No, it doesn't. But God doesn't save people through a devil. He said to the Pharisees, you're of your father the devil. And Elisha was a man born of God. You can't get thorns out of, grapes out of thorns and figs out of thistles. Can't do it. Can't do it. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bring forth good thing. A man of God. That's who the Lord uses. Does that need to be said? Well, I said 5-4 times in this chapter and 4 in the previous. A man of God. A man of God. Go there. You got to go there. You're going to have to go hear him. You have to go hear him. And Elisha knows he's nothing. I'm nothing. Well, okay. Naaman and Cain. Here he comes. Verse 9. He came with his horses and his chariots. A horse is a vain thing for salvation. And his chariots. Came with his horses and chariots. Like today, it'd be a man coming up, pulling up in his big Tahoe. I'll never live it down. Margaret and Mac had a Tahoe at the time. It was pretty new, and you know, I was impressed with it, and I forgot. And I stood up one day and said, it's about these people riding around in these big Tahoes. You remember that? I felt so bad about that. Rolls Royce. It's like somebody pulling up a Rolls Royce. By the way, Margaret's Tahoe is over here getting worked on. It won't run. And so will the Rolls Royce. Moth and rust were going to corrupt it all. Worthless. Well, here he pulls up. Look at me. Aren't you glad to have me down here at First Baptist Church? Look who's coming. Naaman. I've actually had people tell me that they had a rich friend they wanted me to talk to. And actually, a believer said to me, he can do the church some good. I went with my father to England and Ireland. We both preached all over England and Ireland. Passed through Scotland and Ireland, like going through Jericho. Preaching everywhere. We stopped at this place. This man was a rich landowner. He had, I don't know how many thousand heads of sheep, sheared sheep. He was a shepherd. He had all sorts of sheep and cattle everywhere. He was so arrogant. Oh, he wanted us to know how much money he had, how rich he was, what all he knew about sheep. He sat on his couch like he was King Tut. And I remember my dad. I was only 25 years old or something like that. I was 30. I don't know how. I wasn't up very old. But I remember looking at my dad, and my dad wouldn't even look in that man's direction. He looked at him with absolute contempt. And now I know why. There was a prophet in his living room that man didn't give a flip for. And all he wanted, look at me. You're a leper. That's all you are. Elisha didn't even come out of his house. He saw him coming. Didn't even come out. Are you rude? Rude. This is the man that hates God. This is the man that's obnoxious to God. This is the man that needs a prophet. Right? Should that man come bow, should the prophet come bow and scrape to him? That man needs to bow to God, whom he's shook his fist in the face of, whom he's taken credit for, glory in himself rather than God. Oh, the whole world needs to hear this message. Elijah didn't even come out of his house. He saw him coming. Everybody saw him coming. Like the Pharisees, they blow a trumpet. Here we come. Coming to church. You ever notice how people, when they give something to charity, they have it in the newspaper? Look, I gave $103.48 to charity. And you kept $5 million. It's a stench in God's nostrils. He's a leper. Elijah, now here, he sent a messenger. Elisha sent a messenger. What's his name? Who is this man? He doesn't say. He doesn't matter. He's a voice sent by the prophet. What's he say? He got one message. 20 words. 20 word sermon. Look at it. Verse 10. Go and wash in Jordan 7 times and thy flesh shall come again to thee and thou shalt be clean. One message. There's one message to all lepers. You know that? And we're all just alike. I don't care who we are, how high and mighty we are, or how low we are. We're all just a bunch of lepers in God's sight. Old, young, male, female, black, white. There is no superior race. We're all a bunch of lepers. Dying sinners. That's all we are. There's one message to lepers. One message. Get down. Get down off your high horse. Humble yourself in the sight of God. Repent. They all said to Peter when they were convicted of the Lord on the throne, they all said to Simon Peter at Pentecost that day, what shall we do? He said, repent. Well, you don't hear that word anymore, do you? Boy, you do from this pulpit and every true pulpit, repent. It's not a one-time thing, it's a lifelong thing. Repent. Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What does repent mean? It means I'm a sinner through and through. Unworthy. No good. Not righteous. Unrighteous. No good. Sinner. Rebel against God by nature. Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Like the woman. Like the leper. Have mercy on me. Come down. This man is saying to old Naaman, come down off your high horse. You're not a great man with God. You're just a great sinner before God. You're not honorable. You're an abomination. You're not mighty. You're a dying leper. You're weak. You're helpless. You're hopeless. Everything you've ever done has got leprosy in it. Come down. Come down. Go down on your knee. Go down before a holy God. Strip. Naked. Strip. Take everything off. And get in that old Red River. Get in that dip. Strip and dip. I should have named it. Get in that old Red River and go down so many times till you see what you really are. And if you do, you'll be born again. What's the message? Come down. Repent. Peter said, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall receive remission of sin. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Come down. One thing save you, one thing only. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Not your works, not your greatness, not you have none. Not anything you've ever done. You're a leper. No goodness in you're a leper. Come down, sinner. Bow at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do, there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. And sinners, lepers plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. That it? That's it. Come down. Well, old Naaman didn't like that. I'll have you know. He got mad, didn't he? Naaman was wroth. Verse 11. He was wroth. He went away. He said, behold, I thought. That's everybody's problem, isn't it? That's what man, an old preacher one time years ago preached a message. It ain't like you thought it was. From Psalm 50, where God said, thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself. He said, I'm going to reprove you. I'm going to set things in order before you. God's God, you're not. God's holy, you're not. God's sovereign, you're not. You're helpless. You're not in his hands. He's not in your hands. You're in his hands. It's not like you thought. It's not like these preachers are saying. And the true preacher of God will say that. God doesn't need you. This church can be church without you. Without me. Doesn't need any of us. Oh, we sure need him. This is for the poor and the needy, isn't it? Weak and wounded, sick and sore. That's who the Lord's ready to save, ready to pardon. He said, I thought he'll come out to me. And stand before me. And call on the name of the Lord, his God. I don't believe like he does, but I thought he'd be glad to see me. His God. And strike his hand and go through some little elaborate ceremony, you know, hocus pocus, dominocus. That's talking in tongues, yeah. No, no, no. He got mad. It was Rolf Barnard that said, and somebody brought this up the other day. They're talking. It was Rolf Barnard that said to a young preacher named Henry Mahan back 60-some years ago. He said, young man, preach for a verdict. He said, preach so boldly and so plainly, so clearly that people will get mad, sad, or glad. Preach it so plainly, preach God so sovereign that those that hate him will get mad. Preach it so plainly, so clearly that those who are broken heart will get sad. And preach the good news so clearly, so loudly, that sad sinners will get glad. Mad, sad, or glad. And a lot of people get mad at first, like old Naaman got mad. There sits one right there, got mad. She got mad. I said, God doesn't love her much. She said, that's not, I'll show him. She said, I'll show him. I'll go home and read my Bible. Well, she did. She found out that God shouldn't love her. But because he did, he showed her the truth. He went from being mad to sad. You reckon he'd have mercy on a sinner like me? Well, he did. Now what? She's glad. I thought. We need to throw all our thoughts away, all our religion away, all our professions of faith, all our past away. Just throw it away like a self-righteous, filthy rag. Like this covering that Naaman had on him. Strip! His servants came and said to him, Father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, do. If he told you to do something, wouldn't you have done it? Yeah, that's what people would rather do. People would rather do anything than submit to the sovereign mercy and grace of God, than admit that they're a leper before God, than admit that they can't save themselves. Let me climb Sinai. Let me do great things. The Lord will be proud of me. He's not proud of you. He's sick of you. Here's what you do. Bow. Confess. All I am is a sinner and nothing at all. You reckon Jesus Christ would be my all at all? You reckon he'd have mercy on a sinner like me? I reckon that's the only kind he will. Not proud sinners, broken sinners. To this man when I look, God said to him is a poor and a broken heart and trembleth at my word. They said, if he told you to do something, he'd have done it. All he's telling you to do is just wash. Go down. Can you see old Naaman's head dropping? I've seen it. I'd like to see it again. Can you see this? The word's sinking in. His shoulders drop. You ever seen an animal get broken, a horse or whatever? He's snorting and crowding and all that. And the trainer, what he's got to do is break him. You see that head start to drop. Those lips start chewing. Start looking at me. Would you please? I'm sorry. And those shoulders drop. They stand still. Have you seen Naaman? Tears in his eyes. It ain't like I thought, was it? I ain't who I thought I was. You know what? And I think he got a real whiff of himself about that time. That leprosy came up. Oh, I can smell. I'm vile. Whew. You really think that old muddy river will take this away? That's what the prophet said. So what's he do? He had medals all over his shoulder. He had a helmet on his head. People have a helmet called knowledge. Be done with it. Breastplate, heart hard, or head hard, take it off. He had these medals, everything he'd accomplished. You ain't accomplished nothing. Stripped all his beauty, all his raiment, all his covering. And you know what everybody saw? Everybody. He did this in front of everybody. This is what baptism is a picture of. Everybody really confesses Christ. They're going to get in that pool before everybody. What they're saying is, I ain't nothing but a sinner that needs to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Everything I am, everything I've ever done is nothing. Filthy, vile, wretched sinner that I am. Oh, may the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse me from all unrighteousness. May I rise to walk in newness of life. He stripped naked before everybody. You know what everybody saw now? This once honorable, this once great man, this once rich man. You know what they saw? Just an old leper. That's what he is. Come down. You know everyone that humbles himself is going to be exalted. He that exalts himself is going to be abased. Going to be abased. So he went down. First he said, aren't the rivers of Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all this? And like somebody say, they don't talk to me like that down at First Baptist Church of Abana. They don't talk to me like that. They're glad to see me at Pharpar Methodist Church. They're glad to see me. Well, you talk to me like a dog. Did you hear that this morning? You know why the Lord talks to us like dogs? That's what we are. A dog doesn't get offended. A worm? Fear not thou worm, Jacob. He didn't get offended. That's what he is. Well, he went down. And he dipped 7 times. Can you see it, Kelly? You see him going down? Is that good enough? No, keep dip. Went down. It's enough dip. Till finally 7 times. He went dip, 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 dip. He's got this muddy water coming in his nose, in his mouth, in his eyes, come out of his ears. He's filthy. Oh, he's in the River Jordan. He just feels filthy. He tastes it. And he's broken. But you know what? He came up that last time. Let patience have her perfect work. Clean as a baby. Washed completely. He's been born again. Now people, baptism doesn't save you, it doesn't put away one sin. But Peter said it's the answer of a good conscience of those who know what they are. A good conscience is a broken-hearted sinner that knows I'm just nothing at all. God, may God have mercy upon my soul. And I know that a good conscience has been taught by the Spirit of God that Jesus Christ is my only hope of salvation. And I believe him. I hope he died for me. I believe he died for sinners. And I sure hope he died for me. And Christ said, confess all that confess him. He said, if you deny me, I'll deny you. But he said, if you confess me, I'll confess you. He said, I'm going to confess it. I'm not, and baptism is not confessing yourself. It's confessing Christ. Baptism not show yourself. If anything, You know, I've taken these pretty ladies, got all this makeup on, their hair is just all right, everything's in perfect play, and I dip them under that water and they come out, you know what they look like? A wet rat. Seriously. You know what? That's what you look like in the morning. That's what you look like all the rest of the time till you make up. And that's what we do when we come to Christ. I'm a nothing. He knows. He sees it anyway. And when we confess Him in baptism, we're just saying, I believe Christ is my only hope of salvation. I'm a nobody. Put me under that water, preacher. Don't let me up. Just let me be done with me. But no, everybody's been crucified with Christ and buried with Him. All right. He'll bring them up. And every sinner God brings down, He brings up. And like a little child. Now this man is all, he's brand new, Naaman. And you read the rest of the story, he came back to the man of God. He knows who he is. And he knows his God. And he says, this God is my God. And he stood before the man. And he wanted to just give him everything he had. He wanted to give this preacher the gospel. Everything he had. The preacher said, I don't need it. Don't need it. Come down. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a fountain. Filled with blood. Dip. You'll come clean. All right, let's sing a closing hymn, brother.